hello, everybody, and welcome back to Dual Screens Gamescast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, he is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
Good. Happy Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, happy Memorial Day weekend. It's the world continues to spin.
Enjoy your day off for work, everyone.
That's why I'm having a nice cold beer here. You're having a White Claw. We're here to celebrate the holidays.
Very warm, yeah. It's been out for a while, though.
Thank you to all the laborers, all the essential workers. Thank you very much for doing what you do. This, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Dual Screens Gamescast. It's very simple. This is a show where Andy and I, we go over the top stories from the big three companies, and we debate who had the best and worst week, as well as discussing video games past, present, and future. The Dual Screens Gamescast posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including the home of Dual Screens Podcasts, podbean.com. You can also find us on YouTube, iHeartRadio, Spotify, all sorts of apps and programs, really anywhere. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love if you could leave us a review. And actually, I haven't checked out my reviews in a while, so I'm going to dive in. And I'm going to see if we got any new reviews. What do you think about that, Andy?
I'm hopeful. Check the old Podcast Addict, too, just in case. That's like a new thing, right? That has reviews, yes, too, doesn't yes. it? Check them all. You never know.
Did you know that Mike Jarrett left us a review?
I did see that, and you cracked me up. I think
they love to listen to me pee. I love to pee for them. I regret nothing. No, he says regret. So there was that review. Let me see if Podcast Addict has any reviews. No reviews from them. So that's good. I guess not good, but whatever.
That's great.
That's wonderful news.
I love it.
This week's show, ladies and gentlemen, Sony is breaking records. Nintendo just cannot get a Direct together. And Microsoft leaks all over everyone's faces. And, of course, Take-Two. Holy crap. They have like a million games being made right now. But before we get into the show, let's tell you about our other shows right here on this very same channel. That's right, folks. You don't have to subscribe to five or six different channels. We're not over here trying to get your subscription five times over so that we can make five times the money from advertisers. Why? Because advertisers don't want to advertise on our show yet. So it's pretty simple. That's really the question.
If they wanted to, we'd still keep it ad free, maybe.
Probably. Yeah, it's just easier. Totally, it's easier to do it this way. Anyway, we love to give you shows, and shows we will. And we're going to give you the Dual Screens Podcast that posts each and every Thursday. And that's an interview show where we bring on an industry guest, a video game developer, a writer, a voice actor, a musician, whoever it was. If they're making something in video games, we bring them on to tell their story. It's very, very simple. And again, that posts each and every Thursday. And we just had an excellent, excellent show with the creators of Evolutus. That was a packed show. We had three guests with us, so it was five people on the show. Andy, that was a pretty good one.
That was the orgy of the ages. A lot of voices on that show. It was very informative, though. That game was one to watch, people. Watch that game.
They're doing something special over there. They're telling a very, very special story in a very unique way. So if you haven't heard of Evolutus, listen to the show. Again, it posted on Thursday. Check it out. Give it a listen and let us know what you think. And of course, we have our seasonal content. We are in our second show of the year. Our first one, of course, was Andy Explains It All, where Andy explained a myriad of topics to me that I knew nothing about. And you could check those in the backlog. You just go back. You could go to dualscreens.com. They're all up there as well. But you could also go to youtube.com/dualscreenstv and check out the episodes there, because they are mostly, most of them are video, unless Andy was sick, in which case I just did not do video. But you can also check that on our podcast channels as well. But right now we're in the middle of season one of Dual Screens Versus, which is a debate show where Andy and I fight over just a bunch of things that a guest host comes up with. And our guest host this past week was none other than Missed Enough himself, Matt Murray. Now you may be wondering, why do you have a frequent listener and viewer whom you thank at the end of every podcast? Why did you have him as a guest moderator? Well, I'll tell you, listener. It's very simple. Missed Enough makes a lot of our logos. He makes all of our overlays, so the our dual screens Gamescast overlay, our Versus overlay, just you name it, he pretty much makes it for us. He also has written for us a couple times. He is a, since Andy and I have gotten back into podcasting, he has pretty much been right by our side, helping us in many different ways. And he has his own podcast now called Till Death Do Us Podcast that he does with his wife. And it is a murder podcast where they go over, you know, fun little murders throughout history and give marriage advice that are kind of thematically tied into that murder, kind of, sort of. It's a fun show, so you can check that out. And it was probably our most cutthroat episode of Dual Screens Versus.
Yeah, it got really heated at the end there.
It got spicy.
But that's how it should be. It should always be spicy. I want it even spicier the next time around. So you got 2 weeks to prep for an even spicier fucking go around. And
we'll
can't
see.
Wait.
We'll see. Our guest hosts need to bring their A game. They need to bring their A game. And folks, don't forget, if you want to support us on Patreon, it's very simple. Go to patreon.com/NDS podcast. Just like our Patreon producer, Colton, the apprentice, the almost dad, Nestler. That's right. He's they are there. Pretty much in labor right now. So it is happening. So congratulations to Colton. Hopefully everything goes smooth and we love you very much. And we're going to send you a gift. Hopefully eventually once we can actually get to a post office. It'll happen. We love you very much. We cannot continue to grow without your support, so please head over there. And you could support us as little as $1. All right, Andy. Let's get into everybody's favorite future t-shirt that Matt Murray is developing. And that is
so good.
The Adventures in Gaming! 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 Andy. What you been playing?
So, I played a little bit of The Blair Witch.
Oh, okay.
I went on a Game Pass bender this weekend. I was like, what's on there that I can play? Maybe a quick download. Played some of that. It was okay. It was good, but I'm glad I didn't pay for it category.
Okay.
Which I think is going to be, you know, it's what Game Pass looks like.
Sure.
From like, you take a long view of, okay, this is all fun and good, but a lot of content there. I'm glad that's there.
Right.
And I didn't pay a full price tag for it. Game is fun. It's by Blooper Team that does, you know, Layers of Fear and
a good pedigree. Know. A good pedigree.
Yeah, yeah. Look, they know horror and they did the IP justice, but you know, it's a guy and a dog in the forest with no guidance from the game. It's like it kind of throws you into the woods, like, okay, do your own thing and figure it out. But short. I would say 6 hours at most. Which is kind of for like a $40.
That's a little.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? I guess it's all about quality. You know, I would gladly pay $40-$50 for a 4-hour game if it's gonna blow me out of the water, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It to each his own. What else you been playing? Anything else?
Oh, I did the Iron Man demo. The VR demo?
Did you throw up?
I did not. Good. And I'm really excited for that game when it comes out.
Okay, cool.
It was a lot of fun. Like, the VR was kind of like getting dust for a while in the back corner for a bit. But yeah, that was definitely a game. Highly recommended. Highly.
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 Top recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
And what about you?
I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing. I'm... I really like that game a lot now because so now I'm starting to get into terraforming my island and customizing things and everything's starting to come together. I created an island within my island that is called Carnival Island. Mm-hmm. And you go over a bridge and you get to a ticket booth, which you quote unquote pay for tickets. And then you go down the line and then you go in and there's like a little kiddie area that has like little kid rides. It's got a big teacup ride. It's got a giant Godzilla statue. I have little booths where you could buy cotton candy and popcorn. And another one where you can, there's like, I have like a wheel that you can spin and it's, and it gives you, I think it's 0 through 8 or 1 through 8. I forget. But like I have prizes there, like items that I have, like teddy bears, radios, fun stuff. And I'm gonna, like, if you could spin and get whatever number you get a certain prize. So if people want to go and play, they can do that. What else is on the island? I have vending machines, which is cool. I have a baseball hat table. It's like this big baseball hat with these little baseball glove chairs. It's really cute. I have that over there. So yeah, I'm like building this thing out. I have an ice cream stand with these cool little ice cream lamps on either side. That's really cute. And I made some custom awning wrap designs for the stands, so like you can see, you know, it advertises what it is. So that was fun. And now I did all of my flower garden, so now I'm making hybrid flowers. Like, I'm in the weeds here, Andy. I'm in the weeds.
You really are, bro. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Sounds like you've really, like,
it's
gone off the deep end with that one.
You know what it is? The quarantine, like, my routine is I'll get up in the morning, I'll check turnip pricing. If it, you know, if somebody's really high or I'm really high, like, I'll open up my gate and I'll just kind of wait for people to come and sell or whatever. But then when it's nice out, I've been taking the kids next door to my parents so we can hang out in the backyard. And so we've been hanging out in the backyard, and I'll just sit there with the Switch because I get Wi-Fi in my parents' house, and I'll just open my island. People come over, I'll go visit, whatever, and I'll just sit there and I'll just be building my island for like hours at a time until my Switch needs to recharge. That's kind of like what I do. Like, I don't play it at night. I don't sit down and play it like during like peak gaming hours. It's really just my chill in the backyard and play.
Yeah, but at this point, what are peak gaming hours anymore? That's all changed.
For me, it's still kind of the same. It's just it goes later. Like, I still play when the kids go to bed until I go to bed, but now
I'm mine just start bed. Earlier in the day. It's like, yeah, wake up, breakfast.
Mine doesn't do that. No, I got
and I just collapse on the couch and just pull up a game to play.
Yeah, no, I got the kids. It's not possible.
Yeah, yeah,
it's not possible.
Sounds like a personal problem.
Yeah, well, you're not wrong. I've also been playing a game which I did a first play for. Did I put that first play up? I don't even know if I did.
Yes, I did see the video.
Which one was it? I don't.
That was a great looking game. Well, it's in our indie news bit.
Is it? Did I put it there? No. Oh no. Okay, so no. I've been playing two games. I also recorded another first play that's going to be going up on Friday. See, that's why I did two back to back first plays. Just one is in the can. So yes, there are two. So one is Songs for a Hero, which is a fun little indie game that we're going to get into. I'll pitch that to you guys in the indie news update because I highly recommend it. It's hilarious. If you want to watch me play in a first play, you could go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/dualscreenstv, or you could check out this channel. There should be an archived video of me playing the first few levels. I'm going to get back in and also stream again. I wanted to this week, but I wasn't able to continue the adventure, but I will. Fun little side scroller action game where the main character is singing like an opera, all of his actions and everything he sees and all that stuff. A lot of the audience loved it. When I was playing it, it was getting great, comments. But I've also been playing this game called Obey Me.
Yes.
So I got a code for that and I dove into it a little bit more and I did a first play of it. It's a kind of like one of those isometric type action RPGs. I really, really like the abilities. I like the aesthetic. I like the tone it goes for. I like the characters. So far, what I'm not really digging is the voice acting's kind of cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me very much of like something that we would have gotten on like PSP. it just looks a little bit more polished than that, but it basically feels like a PSP action RPG. Like we got ton like that. What was it? Legends. What was it called? Legends of the Blade or Brotherhood of the Blade? What was that game called? There was like three of them that came out on PSP.
I think there was only two, but yes, it was like a launch title and there was a sequel that came out after.
Yeah. It kind of feels like that, but less Diablo like.
You know, it's funny you mentioned it because like I was thinking playing all these old games lately.
Yeah.
I feel like anyone could have been a voice actor back in those days because the voice acting is just not that it's bad, it's just there's no standard of it.
You know what it is? The voice acting, I wouldn't say it's bad because I don't think that's fair. I think it's poorly mixed. Everything sounds really, really clear, like they're in your ears. Like it's not like they're in the space that you're playing in. And it's very much like how we get Japanese games where you could tell that they're playing one person's line and then there's a pause and then they play the next person's line and then a pause in the next person's line.
Right.
It's not like they're having a conversation together.
Right. But like also most games that VO that are from Japan, they usually have like their own team that speaks English, so it's it sounds off already.
Right.
Like a non-native English speaker is
yeah, it's just, you know, it's definitely a low budget or like lower tier type game, but I really like the RPG elements of it, and I wish it had had a lock-on mechanic, which is really annoying because you're just like kind of like swinging and you'll like turn as you're swinging. You're like, I want to hit this guy. Why can't I hit him? But the combos are cool. The moves that you get are cool. It also has a really unique two-player mode where you can take over the dog, the demon dog that's with you. Mm-hmm. So if somebody wanted to play with me, they could just hit start and then they can control the dog and like do really powerful like fire attacks and stuff, which is pretty cool. It's got this mutation mechanic where you fuse with the hellhound and you become like kind of like a demon for a short period and do like massive damage and stuff. It's cool. It's got a lot of cool things going for it. I just wish the production value was a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. But I like it. The frame rate kind of struggles also. I'd be curious to see how it runs on a PC, but it doesn't seem optimized for console at the moment. I'm playing it on my PS4. But yeah, that's all. That's the adventures in gaming. But of course, Andy, of course, you know I'm playing another game. Everybody knows I'm playing another game.
I need another drink. I can't.
I am playing Apex Legends, now, ladies Jesus. And gentlemen. Jumpmaster has not had a podcast in almost 50, 60 days. So this is where you're getting your Apex Legends fix, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for a minute of Apex with Steve. Let me tell you, Andy, I am on fire, Andy. I am playing so well recently. So well. I'm routinely getting 3, 4, 5 kills, routinely getting between 600 and 1,000 damage. Mikey Kirsch doesn't even know what's hitting him right now. I am playing so well. Now you know that we have a rotating third player. We have either Porky, we have Andrew, sometimes we get Clogmonger in there with us. We've recently had Oakelheimer on us, giving a shout out to all the boys. You know what I mean? Tides has been playing with us. The 13-year-old down in Florida, good dude. But Maddie Bizzle. Okay, Maddie Bizzle has been playing on PC, and he just started getting back into PS4, and I think we may have found a pretty damn good third player now to kind of fill in the void when the other guys aren't there, because Maddie Bizzle, he goes in. We had a game, Andy, and I'm almost done with my minute. Yes. We had a game where we had 15 kills across the team, and we did, I think it was close to like 3,000 damage, I want to say, as a team. It was pretty fire. We were doing pretty damn well. And there you go, Andy. I gave Mikey Kirsch 2 minutes. Why did I give Mikey Kirsch 2 minutes?
No!
Because he asked in our mailbag section, could we possibly have 2 minutes of Apex? And no. You got it, Mikey Kirsch. I snuck it in there, and nobody even
That's knew. What hell feels like.
And now, Andy, it's time for the news update.
I got to bring a timer going forward. I can't. This is just chicanery. I won't stand for it. Iron Meat.
Yes, sir.
Is out right now.
Demo, right?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
It is. I played it for a bit over the weekend. It is absolute Contra. It is a bloodier, more violent, in-your-face Contra. Mm-hmm. If you know Blazing Chrome was like a Contra, which it is, this is more Contra than Contra.
How Contra is it?
It's so Contra. seriously, it's got everything. It's got the running, the jumping, the shooting. No spread gun, though. No spread gun.
Oh, no shotgun? Do they have a shotgun?
No spread gun.
No shotgun. Got it.
No spread gun.
Understood.
No spread gun. No sliding. No sliding either.
Okay.
But yeah, check it out. It's out right now. I think it's out also for release sometime this year, hopefully.
Awesome Better sauce.
Be. Yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, of course, I want to tell you about Songs for a Hero, which I've spoken about for a couple of weeks now. But now that I've played more of it, I have to say it is really well made. It's a really well-designed game. Check it out if you want a really cute, quirky, charming, very funny little side-scrolling action game. a lot of fun. You get all these abilities, and you can go back to old levels. I think he said there's 27 levels, and each level has its own song. So
it's kind of like a Bastion, but set to music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That yeah, yes. It's a little bit less complex than Bastion is, sure, as far as its level design, at least early on, like the first
thing. The atmosphere,
yeah,
it reminds me,
yeah,
of Bastion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very, you know, it's almost like he's a singing bard going on an adventure.
Right, exactly.
Except it's all in his head, like he's not actually singing out loud. Right. But it's a lot of fun. I'm having a blast with it. All right. Before we get into the dual screens report, we have some news that didn't make the cut here, ladies and gentlemen. This is some news that didn't make the cut. Now, what is the cut? The cut, of course, is where we pick four news stories, one for Sony, one for Microsoft, one for Nintendo, and then a wild card. And we debate which one of those is the biggest winner and which one of those is the biggest loser of the week. But there's a lot of other news that we want to just give you we just want to give you a little tither, just a little taste, a little taste of what's
like
going on out there.
Mama bird and giving to a baby bird, like,
right.
It'd be good to see a little bit of this.
And you know what it's like. You know what it's like, Andy. It's like when you go to the restaurant and they give you the bread and the oil at the table,
right,
and the salt and pepper, and you throw the salt and pepper inside the oil, and then you take a little piece of bread and you dip it like that, and you just go.
Yeah, but I always want more. I always get filled up on bread.
Right, but then they come out. They come out with a dish. You know what I mean? They come out with the chicken palm or whatever.
Take it back. Can't take it anymore.
The franchise, or maybe they come out with the mozzarella carottes. They come out with the mozzarella carottes or the galamad, and forget about it. You're off to the races.
Yeah. Andy, any more you want to throw in there?
Andy, take us to our first little story here of the stories that didn't make the cut. This
little
is a Sony story.
This is, again, the most persistent, never-ending rumor in gaming, I feel, today. A new Silent Hill game is going to be on PS5 exclusively. We just keep doubling down, folks. I feel like if it gets shot down by Konami, it's going to keep coming back even harder and stronger than ever. This is the Highlander of rumors, is what's happening right now.
There could be only one rumor, except that this is one very persistent one.
So, some bullet points here. It is developed by, this comes from Dusk Golem on Twitter, who is a quote-unquote reliable source for these kind of news, as they say.
Yeah.
It is developed by Sony Japan Studio, will be a PSF exclusive. Akira Yamaoka is composing. Masahiro Ito is doing the art. Toyama is directing. So it's the original Dream Team.
That's it.
Back in effect.
Yeah, they're all. Yep. Okay.
A few more things. Sony is not buying the IP.
Oh.
That's bullshit. So it's probably a licensing deal. It's not a remake.
Okay.
Apparently. It is meant to ease fans and newcomers into the franchise. So if you like Silent Hill and you're a fan, great. But it's also good for newcomers, apparently.
Okay.
And that's really it.
Fair
so,
enough.
So yeah, I feel like this has to be real. Oh yeah, it's going to be there's a working demo of it. And it'll be shown after the PS5 reveal. So it will be announced at the game itself, confirmed in development with the PS5 console reveal, and then gameplay reveal after that.
Yeah, I mean, 1 year of development is not going to... Well, I guess it would be almost 2 years, but that game, I would say, if it's a real thing, probably has 1 to 2 years left.
And this whole story was apparently Konami back in January of 2018 was trying to get pitches for a new game and didn't come out so well. And then Sony was like, we want to do this. Please let us do this. And it's been in the work since January of last year. So it's been a while in development. So we'll see if this is true. Because if it isn't, I'm not going to be alive anymore. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's not going to be true.
Going to have to take my life away.
All right. Hideki Kamiya. Or Kamiya. Kamiya? Kamiya?
Kamiya.
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 Kamiya. Is sick. Fans asking him if Bayonetta 3 has been canceled.
A dumb question.
This is coming from Nintendo Life. And the tagline here is, throw those concerns out the window. This is the quote here. I'm on Twitter, so I see a lot of comments every day. I'm happy that there's still anticipation for the title, but one thing I would like to address is the trend I'm seeing, which is people who are starting to ask if the game has been canceled. I want you guys to take any concerns that you have like that and throw them out the window immediately, because we're still hard at work on it and it hasn't been canceled by any means. Please look forward to it. Now I'm going to read a little bit. I'm going to read this again, but I'm going to answer this. I'm going to rebut this while I'm reading. Okay.
You're going to do a reaction while you're reading.
Here we go. Okay. What I'd like to address is the trend I'm seeing, which people who are starting to ask if the game has been canceled. That's because you haven't showed us anything in 3+ years.
Is it a trend, though? This is the first time I'm hearing of this trend.
What's the trend here? The trend is people are concerned because you've shown zero. Have we even seen a title screen for this?
We've seen
a logo. Do we have a logo?
We've seen other games in development that have been announced, and we've seen gameplay for in lesser time than we've first heard of Bayonetta 3.
I still don't think it's happening. Andy, take us to the next little story here.
Oh, this is not surprising at all. So The Witcher dev, CD Projekt Red, is now the most valuable game company in all of the European lands.
In all of Europe.
So just to put it in perspective, they've surpassed Ubisoft in their total stock market valuation. This was in no doubt pushed by the Netflix series for The Witcher. Makes sense. But CD Projekt has been growing over the last 10 years at a monumental rate. And now they've actually pushed into the top percentile. And they're now worth more than the house of Rabbids and Ezio.
You know, it's weird that...
That's for a 2 IP.
Yeah, not even 2 IP. It's a 1 IP.
Right. And one coming up soon, which is highly anticipated. But still, it's only one main IP is Witcher.
What people don't... So everybody's like, oh my God, Cyberpunk. And I'm one of them. Like, I can't wait for that game. I can't wait to dive in and see what happens, whatever.
I want to make my own genitals, be
but
all
there
funky.
There is a huge, huge, huge percentage, in my opinion, that game could fall flat on its face. If that doesn't run well, which is supposed to be the reason why it was delayed, is because it ran like cocky duty on the vanilla platforms. A majority of gamers have those vanilla platforms. So that's going to be a problem for them. And I could see them having big time issues if that game does not run immaculately like it should.
Or I feel like this will be a case where you have to buy the next gen version of it.
Yes.
You have to.
Yeah. Or PC, which is probably where I'm going to go.
Right.
If I'm being honest.
We get that new tweet rig coming.
I do.
Except for the next 5 or 10 years.
I do.
At least.
Speaking of things coming, Andy, Volorant.
Oh, yes.
This is big. Like, people are really liking this thing and are excited about it. And on June 2nd, this thing's coming. I really know very little about this game. I know that there is a hardcore audience for these types of games. I'm not one of those people. But Summer Game Fest continues on, and Riot Games joined Jeff Keighley. And they announced that Volorant is releasing on June 2nd. And that there's going to be a new agent, a new map, and a new game mode will be available at launch. So stuff outside of what they've already shown. The game looks cool. It's probably not for me.
Like Overwatch with more guns.
I could be wrong, but what I feel like people are saying is like Overwatch meets Dota.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's accurate. I have no idea. If the chat is there and you want to correct me on this, please feel free. But I honestly don't know much about this game. But now that I'll have the PC, and apparently this is a PC game, maybe I'll jump in. Maybe that'll be something I will check out.
This will replace them with Apex starting June 2nd.
Probably not. I feel like this is one of those games that like Missed Enough or Thorn, our editor over Dual Screens. I feel like it's a game like those guys would really like. Maybe Buzz. Buzz might be like, oh, what are you talking about? This is gonna be a really cool game. It's gonna be really great. It's gonna be really great. I don't know.
10 out of 10 impersonation.
It was pretty close.
5 out of 5.
It's It was pretty close.
5 stars.
Take us to the next story, Andy.
Steven, guess what's back?
I don't know. And I'm still trying to figure out what this
is. You remember MicroProse?
I don't. I honestly don't. Well,
listen, they're officially back in action.
I mean, I've heard this is good news. I've heard they made games that I played as a kid. But sure, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't know what games these are. I don't know which of these games I've actually played. I just don't know.
Let's not look to the past. We gotta move forward. And they've announced 3 kick-ass games that should be on any gamer's wish list.
Okay, hit me with
We got Task Force Admiral.
Yes.
We got Second Front. And we got Sea Power.
Sea Power, man. That.
This just lacks a Space Force game, and you have just the four major food groups
of the
U.S. military wing.
That's right.
So we have a game based in World War II. An accessible World War II turn-based tactical game.
Thank God for that.
We need more of our war games to be accessible. That's what I was thinking. Sea Power is a deep modern naval combat warfare simulation game.
Oh.
That pits NATO and Warsaw packed against each other in a tense hide-and-seek-based confrontation.
Hide-and-seek?
Yes.
I like this.
And of course, Task Force Admiral is a single-player experience centered on the command of an early Pacific U.S. Navy carrier task force that puts you in the nerve-wracking role of the admiral in charge.
Well, that's good.
This is, welcome back, MicroProse. Welcome back. We missed you. I mean, Steven, you've played for the NES before a game called Silent Service, right? Or 1942?
Yes, 1942. Yeah.
They've been around for a while. They know their stuff. Or Gunship. You played Gunship, right?
Gunship, yeah. I know Gunship.
Yeah. So now they're back in effect, making more military games that look
perfect,
like they were from the PS2 era. All right, moving on.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Make something fun. You get it, MicroProse. You get it.
You get it.
Goat Simulator developer unveils new game called Just Dial Ready. It's a, quote, old people mayhem sandbox game. That's right. You heard that correctly. This is coming from IGN.com. Goat Simulator's designer, Armin Ibrasajic. Okay, that's a tough one. And his studio, Double Moose, have announced Just Dial Ready, an old people mayhem sandbox game. This ridiculously gory and unpredictable physics-based sandbox game will see players becoming those of the more senior persuasion that must compete. Crazy challenges to earn a spot in the world's nicest retirement home. Just Dial Ready can be played solo or with up to 3 friends, and is set to be released in PC in summer 2020. A demo will be released on Steam shortly, giving those interested a chance to try out the title for themselves. I love this quote right here. When we started making the game, there wasn't all this going on, says Armin, gesturing around at the global craziness. So it does feel a little weird introducing such a... So it does feel a little weird introducing such a ridiculous over-the-top sandbox game when the world is so grim at the moment. That said, maybe supergluing a rocket pack to the back of an octogenarian, and sending him flying into a construction site just to see what happens is the type of escape that we need right now. And I happen to agree. Give it to us.
Right. Gotta get the Kurt Cobain DLC. That's all you gotta do at this point.
Right here.
That's what I need.
All right.
Alrighty.
It is time now to get into the official dual screen support. Now the scores count, you guys. Okay? The scores count. It is time. Andy, take our first story.
Dude, FF7 Remake is a beast. Like, we knew it was going to be a monster in terms of sales, but this is just, it has outdone itself.
It's doing real well.
So the game is now, based on the first month of sales, and this comes from PerSquare.com, it is the highest selling title in the series history across both unit sales and dollar sales. They've taken the crown from FF15 4 years ago.
But Andy.
Yes, Steven, tell me.
This game sucks, though, because it's not really Final Fantasy VII. It's not a real game, Andy. It's not a real game. Why would you pay full price
for it? We're going to boycott it. No one's going to buy it. All the fans are angry.
It's half a game, Andy. It's not even half a game. It's 4 hours of a game.
It's not turn-based. I don't want it.
The ending is garbage.
It's also the third best-selling game in the U.S. for 2020.
Yeah, you liked the shit out of that game. I liked it a lot, too.
Mm-hmm. And you finally beat it, which I love.
What do you mean finally? It's been 2 weeks already since I beat it.
It has been 2 weeks. It took you a while, though.
It did not take me a while. I just didn't play it nonstop like you. You're a sociopath when it comes to these things.
Listen, let's take into account here that this game has sold more than a multi-platform Final Fantasy game. That was also working against the fans were saying, oh, it's only on PS4. It's not going to sell, which is Final Fantasy 15 did.
Really? You know what I wonder? You know what I wonder?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many Final Fantasy 13s were sold after 7.
Hmm.
Because 13, I feel like, gets a bad rep because of its just absolutely unapologetically linear game design that was so far outside of what Final Fantasy is known for.
Right, and also it had a really obtuse story that was hard to grasp.
Oh, a terrible story. And terrible characters outside of just maybe two.
Right. Sure. Maybe.
it had a lot of shit. Whatever. But it had some interesting leveling mechanics
it had some fun ideas in the mix. I'm not gonna knock it for that. I mean, there was trying to do the whole Advent Children combat.
Yeah.
Cinematic, I get it. But just didn't translate.
You could play that game now by just pressing forward, mm-hmm. getting into the fight, and pressing auto battle, and not actually doing anything. That whole game changed until chapter 13, where you could actually walk around in that game.
It's everything we've gone from a game like 12 it could play itself to with the Gambit system, and then 13.
But
and
the Gambit system, though, the game is you programming. It's like you're right. Programming the sure, AI and like.
Once you get a few strings that are good enough, you can just sit back and fucking make a sandwich.
Yeah, sure.
Or even prepare dinner while the game plays itself.
Right, you are.
But FF7 is just a complete 180. It's you can't just mash square and expect to win in that game.
Because your party's dumb as rocks.
Right.
They won't do anything. You're like, oh my god, you have a gun. Eris? Shoot your gun.
Why can't you at least heal me?
But it's fun bouncing between the characters. I like it a lot. I'm curious to see what this game is going to do next year when it comes out for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And
this is all during a pandemic, which is also a little bit more of a, again, highlight because it's people thought that it wouldn't do as well because they couldn't go to a store and buy it, but it also smashed the digital download front. I think it was 2.2 million. In sales only on the PSN store, which beat Spider-Man's record.
Gaming's the only entertainment medium right now that's thriving.
Yeah, we'll get into that later because we've got some numbers on the NPD this month for April.
We did,
and it's kind of shocking. But we'll get into that later.
Foreshadowing, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
We'll get into that later.
Foreshadowing.
Mysterious things.
Mysterious.
All right, Steven.
Yeah, huh? All right, there's some sad news, and I feel the big L is on its way.
Oh, boy.
This is coming from Nintendo Life. It does not sound like Nintendo will be having a Nintendo Direct anytime soon. But you can expect more surprise reveals instead. So I'm going to just read this one. It's really short. At the end of April, VentureBeat's Jeff Grubb said there wouldn't be a Nintendo Direct taking place this June. A few days later, Eurogamer published a story supporting the original report. Now Jeff has provided an update. Nintendo supposedly has no upcoming Direct presentations planned, quote, at all right now. It's also apparently told development partners with, quote, big announcements not to wait around for the next broadcast. Quote, earlier this month, I reported Nintendo isn't planning a Direct for June. As an update to that, I'll add that Nintendo isn't planning a Direct at all for now. It's telling development partners not to wait for a Direct, even if they have a big announcement. In terms of upcoming first-party announcements, Jeff says Nintendo will continue to surprise fans, as it did with the reveal of Paper Mario The Origami King last week. He expects the rumored games he previously spoken about to show up. And what's coming is Pikmin 3 Deluxe, 3D Mario Remasters, and Super Mario 3D World Deluxe. He says there might be some... quote, some surprises beyond this, but Nintendo may have to wait until it could start doing directs again. What are your thoughts on this?
All right, so my first thing is I want to say Bayonetta 3, you have no excuse. Show us some gameplay, because you're not beholden to Nintendo's schedule anymore, so let's see some of that game. Just, you know, show us your game. And I don't know, man. This feels weird to me. I don't understand how gaming events basically stopped. I want to say what, at the end of February, like March came around and we heard there was no more E3 happening, no more GDC. That was all getting canceled. What were Nintendo's plans going into Feb or March of this year?
I know exactly what the plan was.
Do nothing and hope that everything gets canceled.
Hope for a meteor. Like, they clearly had no. Like,
I don't. What were you? What are you doing?
Oh man, we really dodged a bullet there. Hey, Metroid people, you lucked out. Real
good.
You guys, great.
Don't worry about it, guys. Just take all the time in the world. Oh, Breath of the Wild 2? Yeah, don't worry. You're good. We'll show it next year, maybe.
Hey, Metroid guys, you could. Oh, you're still on the logo? Oh. All right. Well, don't worry about it. We're not doing anything for E3. It's okay.
Yeah.
The world has a plague. You guys are good.
Right, yeah.
You guys are good.
Whew. Thank God for that plague. I don't know, man. I just feel like, yeah, how could you have nothing ready? Because at least Microsoft, they're doing something in July, because yeah, they have something to show. And I can respect that. Sony, I would imagine by that time, we'll have some PS5 news. We're getting close to the launch of the system.
I swear to God, Andy, if we don't get something.
Hey, that sounds like an entitled gamer. You are not going to be one of those entitled gamers. But we deserve more, damn it, apparently.
I'm so hungry for it, Andy.
I know, but again, back to Nintendo. Why? How do you have nothing?
The dog is now chewing a toy.
The dog is chewing on a massive cucumber.
This is kind of, for me, this is kind of like a peek behind the curtain that is Nintendo, because clearly this isn't unique to now. How many directs have they put together or thrown together at the very last minute? Because they say, hey, we're doing a direct in 2 days. Like, they never tell us like a month away. There's always these rumors that a direct is going to happen, whatever. But this time, like, I feel like this is how they do things. I feel like they're like, you have anything to show? No. You have anything to show? No. You have anything to show? No. You have anything to show? Yes. Okay. We have a direct coming in 2 days. Like, that's, I feel like that's really what they do. They let their developers develop as long as they need to get something that they're proud to show. Once they have something they're proud to show, then they say, okay, let's show it. Like, and honestly, that's the way they should do things. But I feel like a company like Nintendo, who is so, so good at making their first party games, they should have a little bit more of a regular calendar, at least when it comes to their marketing and their getting people hyped for certain things. I feel like the only one, and this was a recent example, the one that they did probably the best with this is probably Smash Brothers, because they had like a 6-month plan for that before the game came out. Like, they were consistent with their directs. They knew what they wanted to show. They showed very specific sections of the game. And then I think it was like 3 weeks before it came out, they had their final direct where they showed the final couple of characters and the game. And I think that was when they revealed Spirits mode and stuff. So, like, I feel like that was the last time they were like on a calendar, like on a schedule where it made sense.
Right.
That they did it that way.
It's just, when you look at, I think now when you take a peek at Paper Mario, it's like, it's the consolation prize, because it's, how hard would it have been to have that announcement with some Metroid Prime 4 footage, Breath of the Wild 2, Pikmin 3 port, if it's indeed a thing, the Metroid Prime Trilogy port, if that's also a thing, which I think it is going to be at this point, some Pokemon Sword and Shield stuff, some Smash Bros. Ultimate Fighter DLC stuff.
These 3D Mario things are intriguing to me.
Right. Yeah. Like, and, yeah.
If you get a Super Mario 64 remaster, right, like that would be pretty freaking cool.
So what does that really show us? If they had to say, here's Super Mario, and it's all you're going to get, and you'll get small little things throughout the year, maybe, from our third-party partners, did they really have nothing to show going into E3 this year?
I think what it could have been was they could have thrown something together, but now that there's no big fanfare-like thing to be a part of, like there's no – the conversation isn't 6 days now. It's all summer.
True.
So
this
maybe
is...
they just like, we'll see you in September. You know what I mean? Like they don't.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We were going to show you a cinematic trailer for this game, or we were going to show you another fucking logo for this game or a box art or whatever. But now we have a month and a half where we could piece something together that shows you a little bit more of what's coming in the next, you know, 4 to 6 months.
You can't work remotely. Figure it out.
They are working remotely. But are you? Not, you know, it's not necessarily.
How has crippled you in such a way?
I don't know, but they're not the only ones, though, right? Like, there's got to be a reason. I mean, I guess you could say that the reason why Sony hasn't shown anything for their next gen is because they still have their two games that they don't want to cannibalize, but still, like.
Right, but we've seen a controller. You know, we've
that,
seen.
You don't need to work in an office to show a controller. Like, that's not like you're not creating, like, a, you know, I don't know.
Hey, we saw that painful ear canal deep dive. That was good. That was worth it.
But that was for GDC. So that was already created before the pandemic blew everything to shit. All right, Andy. Hit us up with Microsoft story.
Oh, we got leaks. More things are being leaked everywhere. What is happening? The original Xbox complete source code has leaked online, as has the Windows NT 3.5 kernel. Has also been unearthed, courtesy of Engadget.com. Thank you, Engadget. So this kind of leak, these kind of leaks have often enabled developers to create emulation projects.
Yes.
And the Xbox scene isn't the most robust. Though the note here said that this won't really make a huge impact in that scene, because a lot of the stuff in this reveal already on the scene for years now.
All right.
But it might make things better in that direction, but it just makes you wonder, how is this shit getting leaked so many years? Like, how does it, why is this not tightly locked down? This is your system source code. Mm-hmm. And now it's been leaked.
Yep.
How can you explain this to me?
Does it
in some way?
All right. So, yeah, I guess that's a bad thing. I don't know. But I guess the real question here is, does it matter?
No, it doesn't. Not really. I mean, now, if someone were to use the actual source code to make an emulation thing, it would be illegal, and that could be grounds for, like,
I guess because they're so focused on backwards compatibility, because they don't know how to make new video games, that I'm waiting for Buzz to hear that. Just wait for it. I just wanted to write this fucking guy in the chat. I'm coming for it. I wonder if because they're so focused on
games from 10 years ago,
games of the past, that like this could be a big problem for them if people don't have to, you know,
because they're so focused on the past.
Right. That'd be interesting. But again, like this kind of stuff, like source code, like whatever, none of that shit means anything to me.
Listen, if it adds some value to current Xbox emulation, I'm all for it. I want to play some of them old games on my PC that I can't play today. But yeah, it's just, I find this whole thing, like how these leaks come to be, kind of fascinating.
Right.
Like it's something that should be closely guarded and secure somewhere, but it gets out. Like Last of Us 2. Oof. Oh boy.
Which apparently a lot of that wasn't like real. Like it was old stuff. So
true. Whatever. Yeah.
All right. Our wild card. This is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This is real interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This is coming from gamesindustry.biz. Take-Two plans to release 93 full titles in the next 5 years. Let me repeat that. Take-Two plans to release 93 full titles in the next 5 years. Of those, 47 are expected to come from existing franchises, while 46 are completely new IP. I'm going to read a little bit of this because this is good stuff. This is Rebecca Valentine over at gamesindustry.biz. So go give that a click. On today's Q4 and financial 2020 financial fiscal 2020 financial results call with investors, Take-Two President Karl Slatoff said that it expected to release a total of 93 new titles in the next 5 years across both internal labels and outside development studio partners. Breaking it down, Slatoff said 63 of those titles would be core experiences, including 15 platform extensions of existing titles, 17 would be mid-core titles, and 13 would be considered casual games. Additionally, 47 would come from existing franchises, and 46 will be new IP. 72 are planned for some combination of console, PC, and streaming. Interesting. Mm-hmm. With 7 of these also available on mobile, and mm-hmm. 21 would be specifically for mobile.
Right, so the quality is already in question here.
21 mobile games. So yeah, I mean, they
and also those WWE 26 are free to play. Of yes. these 93.
67 of these titles would be paid games, while 26 would be free to play. Slatoff couched this by saying it was possible that this projection was reflective of its current pipeline, and that it was possible that some games would be delayed or canceled, while new games could also be added in the coming months and years. Later in the call, Slatoff clarified that these would be full game releases, and these numbers did not account for add-on or DLC content. My God. Additionally, it was noted that the classification of core experience did not necessarily translate to AAA title, as AAA games imply some of the largest investments the company makes. However, he added that the core games are titles that are, quote, engaging experiences where you can play anywhere from 5 minutes to 5 hours at a time. Interesting. Take-Two identified that fiscal 2021 would be a light year for releases, largely reliant on the company's back catalog.
So, well, you know, they got the bank for this now because that sales I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
They had a sales figure update, Take-Two, and that on that very same sales call. GTA 5.
Yeah.
130 million units sold.
A mere bag of shells.
Which does not include the Epic Game Store download. Is not in that figure at all. Red Dead 2, 31 million units. NBA 2K20, 12 million. Borderlands 3, 10 million. And Outer Worlds, 2.5 million. Holy shit. GTA 5, how? Who is still buying GTA 5? I want to know.
Not me. I got it for free.
I don't understand.
Speaking of, Epic Games also has a new game for free, and that's Civ 6 is this week's free game. So get up on there and buy that and download that shit.
And get that shit for free. But yeah, it's like GTA 5 is an absolute monster. 130 million units. It is the game to get. Because I feel like some folks, they have their box, like their PS5 or their Xbox. They just get GTA and like Call of Duty. And that's it. Or like, and maybe like an NBA 2K or a Madden game.
Or Madden, yeah. Yeah.
It's just my God. But Steven, we got some more sales updates.
Give me the sales numbers, Andy.
We had a huge, huge April, dude.
Huge April.
The increased 73% increase in game sales compared to last year.
That's crazy.
This is Corona. The Switch sold 800,000 units in the US, PS4, 420, and then the Xbox, 340.
340, not bad. That's respectable.
Yeah.
340, not respectable. Yeah. They're you know, still over 100 less than the competition.
Mm-hmm.
But don't worry. They'll have people buying that Game Pass for a dollar. Yeah, man.
But spending this last month was just outrageous. And it makes you think, if more games came out during Corona, they would probably get a lot more sales and eyeballs on it. Because people are just, they're home and they want shit to do. And games are the way to go.
You know what's intriguing here?
Mm.
I want you to come down. Listeners, come on a journey with me.
Come on a ride with you? Get in the car, get in the back seat?
Get in the car.
All
right. Roll up the windows, because I don't want any other people hearing this, okay?
Okay.
If you're driving right now, pull over. I want your undivided attention.
Sure.
All right. Listeners, you know how there are conspiracies out there about COVID-19, about coronavirus. People are saying that it's, you know, 5G towers. They're saying that it's Bill Gates, who is looking to microchip people with a vaccine.
He really is.
That his lab created this. Yes. Now, I want to entertain a thought here. What if, just what if,
yes,
the Bill Gates part is true, but the reason is not? What if this was his way of resurrecting the Xbox brand by releasing a plague upon the world to increase sales by 73%?
If that's all he could muster. Because I'm pretty sure those Xbox sales only got a bump here in the States. I'm sure elsewhere in the world, but only here.
That UK loves their Xbox.
Do they, though?
Yes, they do.
I don't think they do.
Oh, yes, they do. It sells very well in the UK.
Very well, sure. But not like PlayStation does in the UK.
PlayStation sells well everywhere, Andy.
I know it does.
The power of the PlayStation brand surpasses all other brands. Except Nintendo, unless Nintendo comes out with a shitty console, which apparently they're not. PlayStation's the only. I guess the Vita would count, but like PlayStation's the only one that could come out with a shitty console and still somehow outsell the competition.
Yeah, the Vita did still sell well. Still does
kind of.
Yeah,
I think they're at Wii U numbers, right? They're at like 15 million.
Sure, maybe if they're lucky.
I think PSP was at 22 million, something like that. We read it last week on the show.
Yeah. But that is quite the theory.
Think about it. Chat, let me know what you think about that.
And then he gets a stimulus package pushed through.
Exactly.
So that sweet money on those Xboxes.
Exactly. See, you get it.
Fascinating, fascinating.
All right, let's get into winners and losers.
Yeah, I think it's kind of obvious this week. Loser Nintendo. Because I feel... Nintendo should be able to show us something, because again, it's not the entitlement or like I demand or deserve a direct, but you're going into E3 season. There should be a game plan put together, I would hope, by February or March even.
Mm-hmm.
And then to say, well, fuck all, we're just gonna do anything major direct like for the foreseeable future is like a cop out. Like, they saw the pandemic, said, oh, okay, well, things are gonna get canceled, so we'll just take advantage of this and not do anything. Cop out.
I'm with you on this one. I'm giving the big old L to Nintendo. Jerk asses.
And as far as the winner goes, I mean, the Sony sales on the FF7 are kind of huge. Kind of big deal. That's for, again, single console game. Yeah, I'll give it to Sony.
As am I, and it's mostly because it was really the only true positive news. Like,
right.
Take-Two news was like kind of like...
Great, but when you break down the data and you think, oh, okay, a third of that's going to be free-to-play games, how good can this possibly be?
Yeah, you're just buying things.
Yeah.
Buzz Killington in the chat says there's zero reason not to have a direct. Miss Enough says if there was ever a year that a direct made sense, it would be this one.
Yes.
Correct. Right you are.
Like, I get it. Why would you pull out of the conversation when you have your main competitors pushing new hardware? Like, at least stay in the conversation with something to talk about. Like, we don't got new systems, but we have these new games coming out. But no, we're just going to take a knee and just fade into the background.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, Nintendo.
Nintendo gonna Nintendo, you know what I mean?
They really do. They really fucking do.
Do we have a hype zone, Andy? I don't see one in
there. There is a hype zone. Right. I saw it just now. It's a game we should all check out.
Give it a me.
I'm just going to read the title of this game.
Oh, yes. And that's my favorite hype zone. My favorite hype zone. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the hype zone.
I'm going to challenge you to spell this game's title.
Oh, boy. All right.
All right.
All right.
The game is called White Boys with Attitude, The Pursuit of Money. And that's the hype zone.
All right. Say the title again.
White Boys
uh-huh.
with Attitude.
Uh-huh.
The Pursuit of Money. The Search for More Money.
The Pursuit of what?
Pursuit
uh-huh.
of Money.
All right. I'm putting it in the chat. There we go. I have.
Tell me.
White Boys, WHYTE, BOYZ, wit Attitude, WIT,
uh-huh.
Attitude spelled correctly,
uh-huh.
The spelled correctly,
sure.
Pursuit also spelled correctly, okay. Of spelled correctly, and Money, MUNNIE. That's what I got.
You were almost there. It okay. is just, it's White Boys with a Z and wit, WIT.
Okay.
The rest is all the same.
Okay.
But this is a game that exists.
Wow. And
you should all check it out.
Okay. Okay. Buzz Killington dropping some hot stories in the chat. Let's open this one up. Power Rangers Battle for the Grid Season 3 has been announced. We are getting Robert R.J. James. He looks like to be some sort of Purple Ranger from Jungle Fury. We also have Super Samurai's Lauren Shiba. Looks like a Red Ranger. And then a Mystery. Originally trained with his father, Master Fear.
I mean, after Lord Zedd, you really can't. That's like the bar.
New character skin, Phantom Beast King skin for Daishi. I don't know anything outside of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, so all this shit is lost on me. I'm sorry to tell you that.
I don't know Jungle Fever or whatever the other series are.
I don't know anything about that nonsense. But that's good stuff. Good stuff for those. Oh my God, we have more. Oh, Retromania. Yes, this is relevant to my interests, Buzz. Retromania Wrestling planned for July launch digital plus version has been revealed. And of course, Andy, do you remember the WrestleMania arcade game
where the, you know what, really I actually do. Yeah.
So this is a spiritual successor to that with a lot of dead and or indie wrestler, like wrestlers that are past their prime, but like they got the license for them. So it looks like it won't be sold physically for now. But the Digital Plus version is planned. Copies come with a box, a full-color instruction manual, and stickers. So there's no cart inside, but you do get the box. And that's going for $29.99. Right. And the game is arriving in July. I'm very excited for this. These games were really, really fun. They're going to be packed with nostalgia. I don't know the roster. But on the cover, you got the Legion of Doom, a.k.a. the Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal. You got Tommy Dreamer over there. I think that's, what's his name? Stevie, what the hell's his name? Blanking. Whatever. It's, my brain is fried. Looks like the Blue Meanie's on there. That's going to be interesting. That's going to be an interesting game. And you can pre-order it. It says, right here on a little link here, but if you go to Nintendo Everything, you could find that article. And it looks like it's going to be the Digital Plus with the case is originally $34.99, so maybe this is only going to be $29.99 for a little while. So you might want to go and lock that up as quickly as possible. And what else we got? Animal Crossing New Horizons data mine, Andy.
Oh, okay. What's happening there?
Randomly receive art in the mail from villagers. Animal Crossing New Horizons players looking to fill up their museum with art can now do so by buying pieces from Red. However, it turns out there's another way to expand your collection as well. Findings from data miner Ninji confirm that you can randomly receive art in the mail from villagers. It appears that the following can take place based on their personalities. Jock and lazy villagers may send any piece, real or fake. Smug villagers will only send fake. Cranky villagers will only send sculptures, real or fake. Mm-hmm. The wild painting is classified as a sculpture in Nintendo's code, so you can get those from cranky villagers too. Blathers will not accept fake art in his museum, but you could display it anywhere on the island, including your home. Fun stuff. Red has not been on my island in almost over a week, so at least over a week. He's a jerk, and he doesn't show up. And I'm really tired of his shit. You can play Minecraft Dungeons this week if you're excited for that. That's out this week as well.
Is that on Game Pass?
Probably.
Okay, I'll check it out there.
All right, let's get into the mailbag here. We already read Kirsch's, which he wanted 2 minutes of Apex, and he got it. And he's not even here to win. He's not even here.
First and last time.
He's not even in the chat to enjoy it.
Yeah, you'll deserve that shit.
Peter in our Discord says, it's not necessarily a question, but I'd like if you told us about the first game that's going to be fired up on your sweet new gaming rig when you first get it set up. And I assume that is for me. So let me think about this, because I don't really have a deep catalog of like mind-blowing, gorgeous games. So I'm going to open my Steam library here and I'm going to look. Oh boy. I have a couple of good ones already off the bat. Let's see.
What's held you back? Like, what game do you think you couldn't play because of your hardware? What ran like ass? You're like, shit.
It's not necessarily that it ran like ass, but if I really want to get the best experience, I want to play Skyrim with like a million mods.
Oh, there you go.
That's what I really want to do.
Oh, man. You get that horse armor. That's the way to go.
I want Randy Macho Man Savage Dragons turned on. What else? I'm looking through my thing here. I don't really have a crazy games that I would have to really worry about. But I get what I'm going to do is I'm going to get Game Pass, and I'm going to see what's on there, and I will download the killer apps on there.
I'm pretty sure Gears probably look gorgeous on that system of yours.
Yeah. I've never played a Gears game, so maybe I'll go through the backlog of that. Those. Never played those.
Not a single Gears game. Where have you been?
I've only played half of Mass Effect 1, so maybe I'll go back and play those.
Okay.
Trying to think. Well, that's not true. I played Mass Effect 2 as well, but not a lot of it. I played
quarter of that?
Maybe 10 hours. But yeah, I want to play Skyrim again. I've been feeling the itch for Skyrim recently. I don't know why. That's probably going to be where I get Cyberpunk for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. I'm definitely going to play some Apex on there for sure. Maybe Call of Duty. Maybe that'll be my Warzone machine.
That could work.
I got to learn how to play first-person shooters on it. That's the biggest issue for me. Harry asks, who is our favorite dad in video games?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
And one comes to mind immediately.
And who's that?
Harry. And that's Harry Mason from Silent Hill. He's like the best game dad.
That's a good dad.
Goes like into hell to save his daughter. Not even his real daughter, his adopted daughter-ish, kind of, sort of. But yeah, that's like top-tier game dad right there.
This is going to be a weird one. You know what? Now I'm blanking on his name now, though. Oh, there's a little one of those little bloodsucker ants on my desk.
Oh, those are always fun to see in your house.
Those little red ones, like those tiny little red ones.
Yeah,
They're not really bloodsuckers, Andy. This is what we call them because they leave a red streak.
Right.
Like
mosquitoes.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
See, from bed bugs. So whose name are you blanking on?
Hold on. It's going to come to me. God damn it. Why? It's just been so long since I played it. Hold on. I'm going to find it. And you're gonna be mad at me, but it's okay.
We'll see. I'm always mad at you anyway, but still.
I know.
Can't get any worse.
I know. Okay, yes. Okay, that's right. So my favorite dad in video games is unique to my playthrough because of choices I made.
Mm-hmm. Octodad.
And he isn't actually the father of the character that you are with,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going with Lee Everett. From The Walking Dead.
Hmm. Okay. See, I thought you were going to go with Last of Us, Joel.
See, they're very similar. They're very similar.
Yeah.
Yes. Lee Everett lost everything. He escaped. You know, he basically was in prison. He gets out of prison and the whole world goes to shit.
Right.
And he finds this girl, Clementine, and basically keeps her alive and fathers her, teaches her lessons.
Yeah, becomes the father figure for her, yeah.
Like, but it's not even just the fact that he became a father figure, it's that all the other games after that, she literally makes decisions based on what he taught her in that first game, in that first season.
Okay.
Every decision she makes, she learned from Lee. And I feel like having that much of an impact, granted it is a 10-year-old in an apocalypse, so of course you're going to be impressionable upon her. But
right.
Also, Dave Fennoy, just incredible actor.
Yeah.
Like, just an incredible performance.
That is a great choice.
That is my favorite dad.
That is a strong choice, yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. Alrighty. Okay.
Buzz Killington says, can I nominate the dads of the hookers in GTA?
Yes, you may.
Without them, we wouldn't have all those hookers in GTA.
We wouldn't. We really wouldn't.
Bowser is a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good answer.
These kids are pricks, though. Why is he a good dad?
Because he, you know.
Didn't they all die, technically?
Nobody. Does anybody really know anything?
Bowser enlists his kids to fight for him in these pointless things because he kidnaps a princess. Is he a good dad?
And they do it because he's a good dad. Because
he beats them, likely.
They would do anything for their papa.
Against
that is
their
why.
Will.
They would do anything.
It's, yeah.
Mr. Nuff says Dr. Light, technically.
Oh, well, of course. Dr. Light, you know.
That's a good Faja.
Those are his kids. Mega Man in a roll.
Big Boss?
No. He's not a good dad. What makes him a good dad?
The genes. He's got them good genes.
He got them good genes.
Let's think. What other good dads come to mind? Barrett?
Barrett's a great dad. Again, another case of raising not your daughter in the game. He's a great father figure, that Barrett.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other good, like, you know, who's not a good video game dad? That dude, was it Ethan from Heavy Rain?
Jason!
First, one of his kids gets killed because he can't watch her. Then another one gets kidnapped by a serial killer.
Jason!
It's like not having the best of luck as a father.
Buzz Killington says, how could you not have said the obvious? Kratos and his boy.
Boy. Yes.
I mean, he fucking fought a lot for that kid.
Yeah.
He punched, but he also is not such a great dad because he murdered his original family. So,
well, listen, he raised a kid in spite of that. And he raised him well.
He had to forget a lot about the murder of his own family.
Forget, repress, you know.
At his own hands. All right, chat, this is the time for you to get your questions in for the end of the show, but before, and I'll come back and read those after I do the housekeeping. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at Pants Guy. Our Facebook group is facebook.com/group/DS podcasts. If you want to follow me on Twitch, you can do so. I'm at twitch.tv/batchild, and our channel for Dual Screens is twitch.tv/dual screens stream. So if you're watching this later on YouTube, please head over there. You can watch us live each and every weekend. We do the show on Sundays mostly, unless there's a conflict. Then sometimes we'll do it Saturday or Monday, but it's 99% of the time it's Sunday nights at about 9 p.m. So give us a follow over there. If you have an Amazon Prime, Twitch Prime subscription, you can give us that. And speaking of, we had quite a few renewals today. We had Buzz Killington renew his subscription. He has been subscribed for 1 year. Thank you so much, Buzz. Farmer Pete has subscribed for 5 months with his Twitch Prime subscription. And we also had down here, Mr. Nuff, his Twitch Prime for 7 months. Is back in the fray. So thank you so much, gentlemen. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. So thank you so very much. Congratulations, Buzz Killington, on your new PC. We want to thank all of our contributors. Matt Murray, as we've said, he makes all of our overlays. He makes our logos. Thank you so much. Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions, thank you so much for our theme song. Angie Moto, thank you for our cartoon art. And if you want to send us emails, you can do so at feedback@ndspodcast.com. And again, if you want to support us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/ndspodcast. Good luck, Colton Nessler, Colton the Apprentice, the papa to be. Should be having that kid should be happening any second now if it hasn't already. As a matter of fact, I will find out right now. I'm going to find out right now, live on the show. Here we go. Here it is. Where are we? The last time he texted me was Super Bowl Sunday.
That was quite a while ago.
But I have his personal phone number right here.
Not creepy at all.
So we're going to find out right here live on the show. If you want to buy merchandise, guys.
Is he a daddy yet?
So a lot of podcasts have merchandise. A lot. Like in streamers. And I go and I look and I have bought some. A lot of these guys are pricing their shirts at $25. One of them today I saw for $42 for a t-shirt. And I'm looking at this. Guys, no. We price our t-shirts at like $15. We look to make less than $3 profit on a t-shirt. Most people price their shirts at $23, so they make $10 per t-shirt. I don't need $10 per t-shirt. What do we need $10 per t-shirt for? That's ridiculous. Why do I need $10?
Who is selling a shirt for $42? What's on the shirt? Gold?
Pretty close.
Does it jerk you off when you put it on?
It makes you very randy. It has hormones built into the shirt. That's what it does. All right, so let's go to the chat. Let's see if we have any questions. We got no questions, so we're good. We're ready to get out of here. And no update from Colton, so he's probably sleepy boy. Thank you very much for listening, listeners. Again, if you want to review us on Apple Podcasts, please do leave us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate that greatly. Andy, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Yes, I want to say two things before we leave for the day. I want to recommend a YouTube channel you should all check out. It's called Summoning Salt.
Okay.
I have been addicted to their speedrunning documentaries.
Interesting. Okay.
The last 2 weeks. Some great stuff. If you like games and seeing how people can squeeze stuff out of these retro games, like how to get them done the fastest through tricks and glitches. And it's insane. It's insane. So check that out. Also, we're recording with our good friends at Behavior, Dead by Daylight.
Dead by Daylight's coming back, maybe.
Post their new reveal coming this Tuesday.
That's right. They're revealing Tuesday. We're recording Wednesday. The show goes Thursday.
That should be a lot of fun.
So shit is going to be hitting the fan. All right? And we are the fan, and they are the shit. Wait.
And we're the shit.
We are the shit. They're the – no, because it's
– they're the shit. We are literal shit.
Yeah. Okay. I think that holds weight.
That's, yeah, checks out.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, listeners. We love you as always. Please be excellent to each other.